I want to ask you guys a question tonight. You guys ever maybe not paid enough attention to something and it snuck up on you? You know, you're just not paying attention and all of a sudden something catches you by surprise. You know, for me, it's that cupboard in the kitchen that's just a little bit higher than my eyesight, and I come around the corner and I'm not focusing right. Ugh. You know, but when you're not paying attention, things can catch you by surprise. And C.S. Lewis said, it's no small fault of a man to give too much attention to the devil or too little attention to the devil. Now, I believe us in this room are nowhere in danger of the first. But I think sometimes, thanks be to God, we are in a hedge of protection where the world, we are guarded against the world, and that's a protection we have in Christ. But see, sometimes because we're guarded against the world, we don't see all the evil that takes place. And you know, that's not a bad thing. But then what can tend to happen to a person is they forget that the evil exists. You see? Because you're removed from it. You're paying too little attention. And because we forget that the evil exists, what can happen to us at times is that evil can sneak up on us. But sometimes it can get us in ways that we don't even recognize. Due to some recent events, I have got a broader picture of the evil that exists in the world. And sometimes I think we think that Jesus came on the scene when we can see when we read through the scripture that, I mean, there was evil present, right? Mary Magdalene had 7 demons cast out of her. But the thing I want to warn us here tonight is just because Jesus extended to the throne doesn't mean that Satan doesn't indwell individuals anymore. There is a God of this world, and some people are enslaved to that God. And John 10:10 would warn us that that thief has come to kill, steal, and destroy. The enemy that we fight is no joke. He's vicious and he does not care how he will win, as long as he wins. Or is that a wrestling tournament this weekend for my niece Brooklyn? And she was in quite a heated battle with a girl. And it got down to the point where the girl got so frustrated that she didn't care how she was going to win. She used choking. She hit my niece when the ref wasn't looking. She didn't care long as she won. And that's the picture of what we're up against. We're up against an enemy that does not care how he wins. He'll take you out any way he can get you out of the game. He doesn't want you in the game. But in the tactics of the devil, if he can't get you out by just hitting you in the face, he uses small, subtle tactics too. And that's sometimes the things that get us that go unnoticed. And those are the ones that I want to warn us against tonight. Those small tactics that can go unnoticed. What do those look like? What are the tactics that the devil would use against us? If he can't get us out through drugs or through addiction or prevent us turning our back on God, on belief, if those tactics don't work, if those fiery darts that he's throwing at us don't work, what will the devil bring? What do these unsubtle tactics look like? You guys can turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, "Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." A verse we're well aware of. We think of a roaring lion, we think of someone coming at us straight on, ready just to devour, right? But that's not always the way that the devil operates. You go up two verses before that, and it says in verse 6, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in your proper time, casting all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking for someone to devour." Reading over that quickly, you might miss it, but there's three warnings there of how the devil can get you. The first one says, humble yourself. The devil can use pride to get you. And I talked about that with the kids this morning. That's one way he can get us down. Another one, he said, be of sober spirit. That would be talking about like addiction, right? But in the middle there, it says, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. And this is where I want to zero in a little bit more tonight. Because this is a tactic of the devil that he uses on so many people, and so much of us don't recognize that it's the devil working at us. It's a word called stress. And it's something I've worked through in my mind lately, because something I figured out is everybody is going through something heavy. It's not just me. It's not just you. If you're in Christ, there are big issues in everybody's life. We're all facing something. Maybe it's a family member going through a health issue. Maybe it's a family member going through addiction. Maybe it's finances of our own. Maybe we lost a job. It looks different, right? But what it can create is a word called stress. But what I've figured out in the last few weeks, the last month, is that if you're stressing about something, your faith is slipping. If you keep stressing about something, you're in danger of losing your faith. Because true faith in God does not involve stress. You see, it's kind of like the thoughts about like the LSD, right? Lust and death. See, I see when I work with people sometimes, they beat themselves up whenever an unhealthy thought comes through their mind. And I tell them, that ain't going to get you in trouble. The unhealthy thought, when it enters your mind, is not the trouble. It's what you do with it in the 5 seconds after it enters your mind. You see? Because the devil's going to throw those darts at you all day long. And you can't beat yourself up that the devil's got you as a target. That might actually be a good thing. That might actually mean you're doing something right. But if you're not attacking those thoughts in the right way when they come in your mind, that's where you're goofing up. You see, If those thoughts are entering your mind and then you dwell on them, the lust has now become a sin, and the result can be death. And so stress is something that the devil will use to get us off our game. And he can use it in a lot of different ways, and sometimes he's going to pair it with something called distraction. Because if he can't get you one way, he's going to try a different way. And that's what he's warning about when he's talking to us about putting on that full armor in Christ, when he says, watch out for those fiery darts. Because the devil's just over there, and he's just pulling back and letting them loose. And that's what they do, right? When they're fighting fiery darts, they're not very particularly aiming at nothing. They're just shooting over the wall, right? And hoping that's going to light something on fire. And that is what the devil's trying to do. He's shooting these darts at you, and he's seeing which one's going to light you on fire, make your spiritual house burn. And so sometimes he will pair that with distraction. And so, just to use myself as an example, how quickly and easily this can happen, I got three Bible studies going right now. And the week before last, those darts were firing. And I got rentals, and what do you know? Four plumbing leaks in 1 week. Right? And then I had plans at the beginning of the week to get bookwork done that 6 months backed up. But I didn't get the bookwork done the 6 months backed up because the plumbing leaks at the beginning of the week. So then I'm this cycle just all week long where I'm like, how am I going to get all this done? How am I going to get this done? How am I going to get this done? I get to the end of the week, and you know what I did not get done that week? I did not get done a single one of those three Bible studies. You see what's wrong with that picture? I put myself back in the driving seat. And I tried to control things. And then I let the devil get in there and let his fiery darts make me not put first what was supposed to be put first. Right? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now that's something I've tested out before and been proven to be true. I put God first, and he takes care of all the plumbing leaks. But instead, I let the devil get in there and just slowly distract me to the point where I didn't even know it was happening until it was over. You see, we have to have our minds sharp. We have to have that sword sharpened up and be ready when the devil's coming at us that we're not going to get off our game. Right? We're going to keep doing what God said no matter what's coming down the pipe. Because the devil's going to use whatever he can to get you off your game. He don't care. He just wants to win. And if you couldn't have an evil or opponent, right? I mean, it's the devil we're talking about. If somebody's going to sucker punch you, you know, go low, it's going to be him. Let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 28. So, I said, when anytime you're stressed and your faith is slipping, right? And what is faith? Well, faith is the belief in God and the belief in what he said, right? That's faith. And when we're stressing, our faith is slipping. So really, we're starting to disbelieve what God said. In Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 16, it says, therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I'm laying in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a costly cornerstone for the foundation firmly placed. He who believes in it will not be disturbed. What does disturbed sound like? Shooken up? Rattle? Stressed? He who believes in it will not be stressed. We won't be moved. See, we'll be firmly grounded in faith. And it doesn't matter which dart or how many darts that devil wants to throw at us. We're not moving. And I sure wish Tom Petty would have been a Christian. Because I love that song that says, you can stand me up against the gates of hell, and I won't back down. You see, this is the attitude we need to have against the devil. When he starts throwing punches, we start throwing punches back. You know, I have that attitude towards anybody that's coming towards my family. You're going to throw punches at my family, you're going to come after my family, you're going down. Well, what if the devil's coming after our spiritual house? Right? We're supposed to guard our house. And the devil is not supposed to get in. So we don't let him in through addiction. We don't let him in through pornography. We don't let him in through finances. We don't let the devil in our house. But you don't let him in through stress either. The devil has no business in your house. Right? Because whose house is this? This is God's house. And the devil has no business in this house. You see? But the warning to you, Christian, it's been told of you that the devil's power, like God has put the devil's power to nothing, right? So the only time the devil has power over you is when you allow him to have that. And that's a warning. We can't allow the devil to have power on us. I thought this story made a point about that. It said, when I was in grade school, several of the kids in the neighborhood walked to and fro from school each day. We walked down a street where the man had a large dog, a boxer. It had a very intimidating bark and it was tethered on a long chain in the backyard. When we'd walk past that house, the dog would start barking and come running after us. Of course, the chain would eventually stop him, but we were always worried that one day he would break loose and attack us. I would start worrying about that dog blocks before I ever reached the house. One day, the owner of the dog was in the yard and watched this entire scene unfold. The next day, as we walked by the house, the man was once again outside, only this time he had the dog on a leash. When he saw us, he began to motion us to come over to him. We didn't know if we were in trouble or if he was going to let his dog bite us. But either way, we weren't walking over to him. Then he started walking over to us. The entire time, the man kept saying, You don't need to be afraid of my dog. And then he knelt down, pulled back the dog's upper lip, and revealed that he had no teeth. Seriously, there was not a tooth in that dog's mouth. The man said, even if this dog were to ever get loose and try to bite you, it wouldn't hurt. All of us started to laugh, and we were never afraid of that dog again. When the man told us the truth, all the fears and the worries that we had about that dog were instantly gone. Well, I'm here to tell you guys the truth. God has taken the teeth away from Satan. And the only way that Satan's going to bite you is if you give him his teeth back. Don't give Satan his teeth back. Don't let Satan bite you. Don't let him distract you. Don't let him stress you out. God is taking care of that for you. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. So how do we overcome? How do we not be stressed out? Ephesians 4, verse 23 tells us, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You see, we need to renew our mind on the daily and remember what God has said to us and what he has done to the power of Satan, and that Satan has no more control over us as he once did. We are now in the kingdom of the living God, and Satan has no control that we don't give him. So don't let his tactics work on you. Flip over a couple pages to Ephesians chapter 6 with me. So when Satan starts coming at you, you go to war. You start throwing those punches back. And you throw stuff at him like this. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. You get tough. You get tough with that devil. In verse 16 it says, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you'll be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. Your faith is your shield that is going to extinguish what the devil is coming at you with. But what happens in a war if those missiles, those arrows are coming at you and you let that thing down? You see, when you're stressing out, your faith is slipping. And you've now opened yourself up to be able to be hit by what the devil is throwing at you. Christian, stand firm in faith. Keep that shield up. Do not let the devil win. Move forward in faith. I believe in you. We can do it. Let's move forward in faith.